Let's find out.
Now, would you like to start a new again?
Yeah, all right. Start with Nita, I guess. Nita's a visit Nita Grove, a diary, or part of a diary. And she mentioned here, Monday, July the 8th, got up early and phoned to all my pupils not to come this week. Harry drove me up to Spound Cock. Got here at 5. Miss Mabel had a lovely supper for us. Harry started down on Old Horse before 7. Now, go back and explain that. Miss Mabel was Miss Mabel Hudson, and her father and perhaps some others owned a place on the ridge, and they called it Spound Cock. And Spound Cock was a vessel that was fought during the Boer War. And I don't know why it was so important. I don't know history that much, but they named their mountain place Spound Cock.
Where is that?
It's, where is it, Morris? Rocky Branch Road.
Yeah, if you go up the Rocky Branch Road, clear to the end, right up, you know, where the old road used to go up and make a loop around and come back from there where the Batmans live. There to Rocky Branch Church, near there. And it went up and made the loop around. But when you got up there, there was an old dirt road that went up the mountain there, went on across the mountain. And that's how they got to this fine cop. And my father, Gilgrove, and Uncle Joe Spidler owned a grazing farm up there just past the top of the mountain. So I have to drive cattle many times between here and the place that they own. And then this fine cop, they went through our place to get to that. And it was about a mile or more past our place. And you got to this
Rocky Branch. Now, the information that we had is so wrong. That's right, grazing land north of Panorama. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's north of Panorama.
Uh-huh.
And to go to Panorama and up, it'd be right much north of it, too. Yeah, I mean, several miles.
Yeah.
Because that old road, I doubt if I could find it if I went up there now, because things have grown up and changed so. And all the buildings are gone. I remember when I was a kid going up there, and they had an old chestnut orchard on the places my father and Uncle Joe Spidler owned. And we'd go up there when we were kids, and my friends had been up there too, and the rest of us, up there in the fall of the year and gather chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And go up there and take a long stick and beat these trees, you know, and knock the chestnuts out, and then we'd those kids would pick them up, and we'd come back with several gallons of chestnuts.
And what would you do with them?
Eat them. What worms didn't
eat? Well, I meant you didn't sell them or anything.
Oh, no, we didn't sell them. We just picked them up for our own use.
And you roasted them?
Yes, we roasted some, and they ate a whole lot of them before they ever got to the roasting. Well,
they
we got roasted.
Wrong. I don't think we roasted very many of them. We didn't go into roasting them much. We just ate them.
Raw chestnuts.
Yeah, we ate more of them raw than we roasted, but I like roasted chestnuts, though, too.
Yes.
That's the only kind I'd ever known, roasted chestnuts.
Well, there were two houses on the place, and a man named Jeff Dwyer, spelled D-W-Y-E-R, don't you?
Yeah.
Lived in one of the houses. He had several children. I don't remember their names.
Now, was he a tenant farmer?
Well, he looked after the place and...
No, he wasn't a tenant. There wasn't any tenant to it. My dad and Uncle Joe were in the livestock business. And Jeff was a remarkable character. Now, there's no doubt about that. They could call him up on the telephone on Friday night and tell him which cattle to bring out. You bring a cow that you took up there 3 weeks ago today and describe the cow that they wanted. And another one he took 5 weeks ago, and one had been up there 6 or 7 weeks, and then described them. And he would round those cattle up with his girls. He didn't have any boys. His kids were all girls.
He had one boy, Roy.
Yeah, that's right. He did have one, didn't he? But about 11 or 12 o'clock the next day, he'd have those cattle in town there, and the most of it by himself.
Well, now, if he wasn't a tenant farmer, why did he do this?
My dad and they paid him for his labor. He was working as an employee.
I see, but he didn't have a house up there.
Yes, he had. He lived in the house. It belonged to my daddy and Uncle Joe, Joe and Spiller.
Well, then that, I would call that a tenant farmer.
No, a tenant farmer was part of the crops. What I call a tenant farmer.
Oh, I see.
But he was just an employee. They paid him so much a week, and he would, for his labor, and he would cut bushes and see about the cattle and fix a fence and whatever was to be done up there.
Mm-hmm.
Nail a board on the house, or the other house that they had the two houses. He lived in one, and what was it, 200 yards apart or something of the kind. And we would stay in the other one when we'd go up there. I don't want to spend the night.
Sometimes we'd go up and spend a week, maybe. Some of our cousins from Roanoke would spend the summer down here, and we'd go up there for a week, perhaps.
Ooh.
And it was like camping.
Yeah.
Would you say it'd be somewhere near around, you say it was several miles from Panorama, about where, Jeremy Run Overlook would be, or Elkwalla?
Not as far north as Elkwalla.
No, it's not near as far as Elkwalla.
Well, I used to be able to identify it when we went by, but
I haven't been up there for so long.
There's a sort of open space just beyond Jeremy's Run Overlook. And I'd love to see the deer that are there. There pretty generally are, and it's kept sort of open. And I was just now thinking, I wonder if that could be part of it.
It might be.
Was it fairly flat land?
Well, the little of it was fairly flat, and some of it was pretty steep.
As I recall, it was sort of a dip. There was a little stream that ran through the middle of it, between the two houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the one we camped in was on one slope, toward the south, I believe, wasn't it? Toward the south, and the other one toward the north. And then fields on behind it.
Mm-hmm. And all this had been cleared.
But it's all grown, gone back up in, and gone wild.
Right. Yeah. How many acres roughly did you allow per cattle?
Oh, I don't know, several, maybe three, something like that. Depends on how much grass is on it.
Mm-hmm.
About three or four, I guess, up in there.
Mm-hmm. How many cattle did you have?
It was never the same up there in the 2 weeks. Because he brought out a bunch and they would sell them and then they'd send something else up and he'd take a bunch back every Saturday evening and then he'd drive them out here in the morning and another bunch back that evening. And he and his kids.
That was a pretty steep climb for those cattle.
Well, people do.
Yes.
We used to, when we camped up there, walk down to the Rocky Branch Church. I remember walking down there at night and back, and then there was a store. Who owned that store? I don't recall.
Keller Waters, part of the time.
Keller Waters?
Down to that, just for
Yes, Waters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a regular general store?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Groceries and candy and so on. We probably went for the candy.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes.
Right.
Now,
but
isn't that the one they call the Woman's Place?
Yes, that's what they call it.
So
they had bought this place from a person by the name of Waters when they bought it. Now, I don't remember the first name of that Waters. They always called it the Waters Place, and it was bought before I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then the part, they kept it until the part took it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many acres did your family have?
I don't know exactly. This probably
roughly
somewhere between 200 and 300, I think.
That's a lot of acres.
Acres don't mean a thing to me. I don't know what an acre is.
Well, it is in a way, and it isn't in another way. It depends on what's on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the ground.
Yeah. But 200 or 300 acres was.
I'm sure it is as much as 200. It might have been as much as 300. This is right good size.
Yeah. And it was all along the
just rough as could be too.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is so rough you have trouble riding a horse over.
How about wildlife? Was there much wildlife up there?
Not too much at that time.
No.
I mean, as far as deer and things like that, when I was a kid, you'd never see a deer like you do now.
Yeah.
They had just about all been killed out ahead of that. People had lived on them for a long time.
Sure.
And they about had them all gone.
Squirrel, possum, rabbits.
Squirrels and foxes and rattlesnakes and that kind of stuff.
Yes, there were always the rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Were
not the birds.
Yes, there were the birds.
Oh, I never saw a rattlesnake. I never saw one in my house.
Fortunately, we're all fortunate, aren't we?
I don't think I ever saw one on that place. Now, I saw one on that Dean place, and the only guy that owned them. My daddy owned that individual.
The time father was bitten by a snake, was that up on the other place? Earlier than my memory. He was climbing up over a rock and put his head, hand down on the copperhead and got bitten. And he recovered, of course. But he was quite sick.
The Dean place, now which one?
Dean, that would be at the foot of the mountain.
Oh,
that would be the foot of the mountain.
And the park did not take that.
No.
Not in the park.
No.
Now that sticks up in the park. You know where that projects up in the park?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you went on up. Through that as far as you could get and straight over the mountain, and just a little bit farther north was that water splash.
Oh, I see.
That's where it was.
Uh-huh.
I know that. Because we went there, we went up through the Bean place and along beside it. Looked there for a good ways and then got out of that, and then there's a Heaston place up there that Joe Sam.
Was he one of the mountain families?
No. He lived out here. You know what? It's a famous chapel is out here, church. He lived right this side of that, on the right of the road there. That's where he lived, beyond that place up there.
Oh, I see. In other words, he had property that he used like
that's
you
right.
did for
mm-hmm.
cattle.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And we'd have to go through his between the two. And it was somebody else. There was some other property in there, but I just don't remember who owned it.
Were there any mountain families anywhere around?
Oh,
well, the Waters is lived up there.
Yeah.
The who? Waters.
Yeah.
Waters.
Mm-hmm. There were a number of Waters up in there, and Frasers. Almost New Fraser lived up in that neighborhood. And he had a whole bunch of sons, and his sons married Jeff Wire's daughters.
Oh, yes.
And several of them did.
Mm-hmm.
I think about three or four of them. His boys married his Wire's girlfriend. Homer was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't the Lori's Wires, it wasn't her family, were kin to the other.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they? She'd be able to tell you some, too.
She, yeah. And I tell you, if you go up and talk to Homer Frazier, might give you a whole lot too.
Where would I get a hold of him?
Go up by the church up there, Rocky Branch Church, on up in Beam Hall, and go up there just about almost as far as you can get, and he lives on the right up there.
I could tell you.
You know where that chicken place is up there, where there is those game roosters, those fighting roosters?
No, if I knew about it, I'd stop.
it's just before you get to that. Now, my daddy owned that farm up there, and when he died, I tried to keep it for a while, and it got too many for me, and I think it was getting a little too much for Homer. Homer Frazier was living on it at the time, and we kept fighting bushes up there, and he was getting older all the time, and he felt he had enough of it, and so did I. So I told him, I said, now, Homer, I want you to have a place to go. and I cut off about 12, 15 acres off that place up there and sold it to him fairly reasonable so that he'd have a place of his own, and he bought the old store there.
Oh, yeah.
He bought that, and there was a little house beside it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to talk like everything to get him to take. And finally he did. And then he went out to, came down here to town, and got himself a job, and he paid for it and nothing flat almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't any time before he built himself a little cottage up there, and he tore the old store building and all that old stuff down, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this little home up there. It's on the right of the road now.
Okay.
You go up there, and he's got a little stable down that you get to before you get to his home.
Mm-hmm.
You know where anybody lives up in there? You know where Ralph Waters lives?
No, I don't.
Ralph?
I know nothing about Rocky Branch area.
Well, when you get well on up in there, watch the mailboxes, and you'll come to Ralph Waters and Franklin Miller. And when you, then there's another Frazier up there. I found out what his name is. And he's back off the road a little bit, and then Homer will be the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they've built houses since I've been up there.
Homer's house is right against the road.
Yeah, Homer's house is, his house is within 15 feet of the road, 10 or 15 feet of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Up there.
Is his the last house before you get to Parkland?
No, you're going up in there, and then the road kind of curves around to where that fell from Washington. They had those fighting game roosters raising them up there.
Is he still doing it?
I don't know. I reckon, as far as I know, I haven't been up there for years.
Think you'll go up and look at them?
Not with the Humane Society for nothing. you know, we know really nothing about how people handle having their cattle and moving them up to the mountains and then back down. Now, your family owned a farm down here, right?
Yes, owned a farm here in the valley and raised feed and that kind of stuff on that. And in the summertime, we drive those cattle up there, and they live on the grass up there all the summer. And then that fall, the grass play up, and bring them back down here for the winter.
And you drove them then? You didn't haul them?
No, you drove them.
Yeah, they walked up there and back.
Now, didn't that take an awful lot of weight off of the animals to do that?
Not too much. It didn't put it back too quick. I mean, you do grass for a couple of days, and it had it back.
Uh-huh. And none of them broke their legs or anything of that kind?
Because
that's pretty rocky, this.
They're going to have an engine here if something happened to one of them. And it's still pretty far as that goes.
Yeah.
I had to bury one here some time ago. I thought it was hell thing, but all of a sudden, saw her down in the deal. And the next day she was dead.
Yeah. But I should think, I'd hate to scramble up that mountain myself, and you know, to be a four-footed creature would be pretty.
Yeah, if they got four feet to walk on, you don't have two.
You're easier than you can.
Yeah, but I'm not being driven. You know, there's a difference when somebody's saying, "Come on."
You had to do. All the cow's got to do is what you kind of prod her along.
Yeah.
You got to do the same walking and do
how
the prodding too.
How would you keep
too,
them
so
separate though? Now, like, how would you keep one herd separate from another? Were there any other farmers doing the same thing in the same area?
Yes, but we'd always keep them separate. One would stay in front and to hold one back with you. Not too often. There weren't that many going that you had to, that would be a problem.
Did you brand your cattle?
No.
So they just were allowed to browse around in the area?
We had them labeled. We had a metal tag in their ears with a name and a number on it.
Oh, I see.
But our father could recognize cattle as if they were people. It always astonished me. But somebody stole one of his, was it one or more, took it down to Baltimore to sell, and father went down there and recognized it.
Identified it and had his label in when they got the law out there, the officers. Well, how do you know that's yours? He said, catch that steer and look at the label, and if it hasn't got my name on, it's not mine. They caught him and looked at it and read his name on it. They told him what was on the thing before he ever caught it. And this fellow had stolen them, a bunch of them, and took them down to Baltimore and sold them. And pesky meat people had bought these cattle and took them down to a place that they had feedlot and turned them out. And he went down to the feedlot where they had hundreds of cattle down there and picked his cattle out of the bunch.
He knew them as if they were people.
Yeah, and
yes, I know.
Benny Spittler, now that was Uncle Joe's oldest son. He was better at it yet than my dad. People around here, they were buying and selling, and people around here were getting an argument about whose steer or whose cow something was. We'll have to get Benny to come up here and settle the argument, and they'd call him, and he'd go up and he'd pick other people's cattle out for them. Now, how in the world I remembered it, I don't know. I have children sure remembered. I can remember some of mine, but I can't remember all of mine.
No.
But I've never had the experience at it that they have.
What kind of cattle did they raise?
Well, way back there, it was just cattle. And then you got into the Hereford and Angus came around all in the 1920s or something of the time. Those breeds got in here, and then they got crossed up some, but some of that other was, I can't think of what they were.
Mm-hmm. They were just
there
cattle.
Some of those, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Durham cattle that they had back there. And,
did they dehorn them or do anything like that with them?
Yes, quite often.
But not as a general rule.
Yeah, but they do now, but most of the farmers trying to breed the horns off of them now.
Yes, I mean in those days, did they automatically dehorn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they cut them off then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cut hundreds of them off myself.
Yeah.
They had a special tune to cut them off with.
Yeah, they had a dehorn.
I always wondered if it didn't hurt them. It's kind of, they say, like fingernails and so on, but
if you do it when they're young enough, I think they say it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, doesn't hurt long anyway.
No, it's about like pulling a tooth, something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And the way when we were kids, you didn't have all this stuff and numb teeth yet. And go to the dentist, and they just did the thing and pull the tooth. That's all there was to it.
Sure.
You had to put up with the pain.
Right. Well, the farm that your father had down here in the valley, how large was that?
The farm that he had here in the valley was, I'll tell you the whole story on that. It was granted from the King of England in 1744 to a John Lineberg. In 1756, it was sold to the first grower. And, yeah, and he had two sons, so he split the thing. And our side of it was, I don't know what it was, around 300 acres, right?
340, I believe.
No, it wasn't that much.
Wasn't that much?
That's what my daddy owned when I got it, bought it from my daddy. It was 343 acres.
Oh, he had bought some.
But he had bought some from Uncle Edgar Huffman, 1620 acres, and my granddaddy had bought a little bit from somebody and added on to it.
Where was that located?
On US 340, 2.5 miles south of town here, on the right up there.
South of town?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to drive these cattle all the way
from there and on. Oh, Lord. My daddy bought and sold livestock when I was by the time I was grown, he had me on the roads some days 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, riding horseback, driving these cattle around. We'd go over in Rappahannock County and get them and bring them into Luray, and then the next day we'd drive them to New Martin. I've driven cattle from the other side of Sperryville, New Market, a many a time.
How would you bring them from Sperryville? Up over Panorama?
Yeah, across the Panorama and down and then going across this mass nothing mountain, New Market the next day. And you had a bunch of tired cattle when you got to New Market the next day, too.
I should think you would, yeah.
And you had a bunch of tired boys chasing them, too.
You didn't have cars, automobiles on the road.
No. No,
I remember one time, a couple of funny incidents happened over there. We had a bunch over, I don't know where they came from, we had them over there, and one of these cabs broke down about 200 yards, just laid down, and wouldn't go any farther, about 200 yards or 100 yards or something, the count from the gate we would have put them in. And we sat there and proved that that thing couldn't get him up. And you remember Jake Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jake got down on his hands and knees and started bellowing about like a bull, you know, and shaking his head at that thing. And he jumped up and started chasing Jake. I said, run through the gate. He did. He ran through the gate, and that thing chased him through the fence, you know, and then he climbed the fence and got back out. He shut the gate and came home.
Oh, that poor tired cow. Or cattle or whatever they were. Cattle or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes. But now, going through town, I imagine, must have made quite a scene, didn't it?
Yes.
As far as I said, there were not so many cars.
There weren't too many cars then.
No.
And the people were different then, too. They'd help you in a lot of cases.
How?
By heading them off and keeping them on the road for you.
Keeping from running.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Keeping from going in somebody's yard or garden or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
Yes, of course they'd want to stop and take a little
mm-hmm.
snippet here and there.
Yeah.
But now, just roughly, I'm trying to think how many miles that would be to get those. And would you do it in one day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would all be done in one day.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can ride a horse. A horse is used to going now.
Yeah.
A good riding horse. You can ride a horse 35, 40 miles a day. But now you can't drive cattle that far.
Yeah.
But you can drive cattle 18, 20 miles.
Then you'd get up there and you'd stay there overnight?
Sometimes you would and sometimes you wouldn't. We'd usually come back. Yeah. But a lot of times we'd start out at 4 o'clock in the morning to start up there. You know, we'd early start and we'd have them up there a little after lunch. And then we'd come on home that evening. Coming home, that was the easy part of it.
Yeah.
That place.
Oh, you mean Uncle Joe didn't own
it? Oh, Joe didn't have anything to do with that place.
Mm-hmm.
But
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
you go up by Stony Man and up there.
On up the old dirt road. And, up in there. And it was out across the ridge, like, and down the other side a little bit from the, where the stable is up at Skyland now. And I went up there one time, a number of years ago, and I was going to see if I couldn't find where the old house was. And I made a big circle around down there, and I couldn't even find the spring branch. So I don't know where it was. It was over in there. I remember what it looked like when when we used to drive cattle up there.
How many acres was that?
No, it wasn't too much up there, maybe 100.
And you would drive your cattle up there?
It never
up
was.
Through Kettle
a good
Canyon, place. And would you send them up that way?
We're going up to
through the Skyland.
Where the old dirt road is that goes up?
Kettle Canyon.
Is that what you call it?
Uh-huh.
All right. That's the way we go up there, that old dirt road. And going up there and right through the Skyland little village up there. And turn on through the, and on out by the stable. And it was old, kind of over the hill and down maybe half a mile on the other side of the stable.
Did you have much to do with Pollock?
Yeah.
No, not too much. We knew him and so on, but I never did have any financial deals with him at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was thinking about, he didn't mind Father's driving his cattle through, because his horseback riders would ride over Father's land.
Yeah.
So it was sort of a gentleman's agreement.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Did you ever go to any of his parties?
Well, he had what he called an Indian powwow one night, and we went up to that. It was the only time I was ever.
Powwow. Cords and cords of wood up there, and then set it on fire and have this powwow. Mm-hmm. Into that.
How did you get up there?
Walk.
The car, if we had a car, then I guess.
The car is full of the mountain.
Full of the mountain and
walked up. Had an old Model T or something that night. You couldn't go up there.
Back in those days, people walked.
Of course they did, yeah. Right. And that's quite a climb up.
Well, it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a long ways from the foot of that mountain to the top.
It is. Mm-hmm. I've done it many a time, and I know that it's quite a climb.
That's how you're slim, that's why I'm slim.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk a lot, you just don't have an opportunity to put it on.
Right, yes. Well, that Indian powwow, what was it like? I mean, I've read about it in Skyland.
Oh, you tell that. You remember that better than I do.
Well, I suppose Mr. Pollock's guests were dressed like Indians, and they had, Laura said, cords of wood run up to a point at the top like a teepee. And they were dancing around it and making Indian noises. And it seemed to me I'm sure they had something to eat later, but I have forgotten the food. Didn't they have big kettles of food?
I think so. I don't know. To tell you the truth, I'd forgotten about the whole thing until you said something.
Well, I remember walking up there, and I remember the fires. The food evidently didn't impress me much because I don't remember what it was or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was only once that I ever went to it. And we enjoyed it very much, but then after it was over, along about whatever time it was at night, walking back in the dark wasn't as much fun as going up.
That's right.
Well, one thing's harder walking down.
And you didn't have flashlights then like you did.
Well, one person had a flashlight and he kept flashing it on and off. If he left it off or on, either one would have been all right.
Right.
But that off and on, by the time you get used to it, it would go off again. So,
Bob, I took care of these kerosene lanterns too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At that time.
Were the mountaineers there at the party?
Some of them were around there.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember who. Around the Skyland place.
What was his name? Was Parks? Ed Parks.
Oh, yes.
And his family.
Oh, and Mrs. Parks. And I have a picture of old Mrs. Parks upstairs. Now that I can find it.
That would be wonderful.
Oh, that is wonderful.
All right. We'll make a copy of it and see to it that you get it back. Where was that lunch?
The lunch was down at the old Miss Waters. on his water basin. And she was wasn't too clean around the kitchen. And insisted my dad save lunch. And he saw how that they lived around there, and he didn't know whether he was going to be near that cooking or not. So he told one of the few lies that I know of that he told in his life. He told me his wife said the doctor put him on a diet and he couldn't eat anything except hard-boiled eggs. She was cooking clothes, I mean boiling clothes, are you know, to wash them, you know. So she just pitched a couple of eggs in with these old dirty clothes. Hard boiled them for him. And one of them cracked.
Oh God. So what did he eat it?
I don't remember whether he did or not.
Now, you wonder what this has to do with anything, but Rosie Parks, was Rosie that Mrs. Parks' daughter?
I don't know.
I didn't know Rosie Parks, but Rosie evidently knew Father had a little girl, and she sent this dish. That's a little, so, what do you call this? It's a majolica.
Majolica?
Majolica piece. And I cherish it. I love that thing. She had it naked. No, I'm sure she didn't know. And where she got it, and it must have been her treasure. And she sent it to me, and I have loved it. I never used it, I just keep it sitting back and look at it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Now you say this is Mrs. Tom Park.
Uh-huh.
And she lived there near Skyland?
Yes.
Ed Park. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is, in fact, Mr. Pollock's writing said this is Mrs.
Tom Park. That must have been Ed's mother. Yeah.
Sure, well, of our good old friend, Mrs. Tom Park.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we will take very, very good care of this, and that's already going on the tape that we will take care of it and see who that you get it back.
Oh, because I do want to keep it.
Yes.
I almost gave it away one time, and I decided I didn't want to.
Oh, no, indeed. I wonder how far away they live from Skyland.
It was less than a mile.
Oh, close. Hmm. Distances didn't seem as much then.
Now,
well, maybe somehow it was just the opposite. But you walked across, and you didn't think anything of walking a couple of miles.
Mm-hmm.
So,
A little farther now than it
used to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'd like to see that picture of Minnie.
Oh, yeah.
Spinning wheel. That old spinning wheel piece. They like her shoes.
What I thought of when I looked at her feet. The people down the bottom mall.
Oh, I know.
They go back
and so wide.
Oh.
Their feet are about this long.
So now the water's place was about 2 miles down from the top of the mountain.
No, it wasn't 2 miles from the top.
No,
it extended almost to the top of the mountain. But it was on the other side.
I thought you meant it was 2 miles from town.
Uh-huh. No.
No. It was on the mountain.
Oh, the water's place is on the mountain.
It extended up to there, but it laid on the far side from here.
I see. Uh-huh.
That road that went across there used to come out down close to that, that church, Fountain's Gap Church.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where that is, or in Sprayville?
Yeah.
Go down the other side of Sprayville, about a half mile or something, and turn left and go up in there. Well, now that road there connected to this road from Bean Tall.
Uh-huh.
You could go all the way across the mountain there.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't too much travel. There wasn't near as much travel as there was about town around.
Yeah.
Never was, because this was always the easiest road to get across.
Now, what did they sell in that store side of candy?
A long time ago.
Long shirts and overalls and a lot of work.
Groceries.
Clothes. Groceries, some coffee, and sugar, and salt, and
kerosene, and things of that kind.
It was a little country store.
It was just a country store.
Have you any
they pay for their groceries.
Uh-huh.
And then we start charging again, and then they pay them again.
Yeah. Did you know W.E. Judd? He had a store down in the Morning Star section.
Yeah, around there for us.
Yeah.
We didn't get around there.
And I was just, he handled his the same way on credit.
Most of it was on credit.
Mm. They did. The town grocery stores, our uncle owned Roman Brothers store. And all of them gave credit. They just kept the record, and at the end of a month or so, you'd pay up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were big enough money, they'd pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Where was that store?
Here in town.
Where?
Well, you know where Miss Nita Grove's antique shop was?
Yes.
That's a building. That was a good old house there. I got a picture of it, too, the way it used to look.
Mm.
Are you interested in things like that, too? Because I can go and pick that up, too.
No, not for the park, but I am interested
in it. Yes, well, sometimes.
Yes, right.
I've been interested in Victorian houses, particularly.
Yes.
That had so much nice, fancy work on the front.
It certainly.
I think so.
Yeah.
Not weak enough, whatever it was.
Did they call that bric-a-brac?
Well, bric-a-brac was little things that you have sitting around. No, they called it.
You and I both.
Well, that's what I thought too.
Bric-a-brac.
Harry was tearing down the whole place.
Put out and stuff, fancy stuff up around.
No, it wasn't bric-a-brac. Oh, dear. The word is right on the tip of my tongue. Can't think of it. Well, anyway.
I know.
It's all that little stuff that goes around.
Decorative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which they're tearing off. They have torn off some of the houses. I think people who have it now kind of cherish it, but a few years ago, they were bringing them up to date, by taking off all the jigsaw. That's all this work.
But when you think your family has had quite a part in the making of Page County.
Yes, they've been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Fraziers. Have you any idea how the Fraziers came to live there?
No, I think it is, Mr. Newt Frazier, and they say he had a whole bunch of sons who lived up in there.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where he lived. He lived on the left, just close to the main place. There's two houses there. They, one of the last places he lived, but I don't know where he raised his family. I mean, he was an old man when he lived up there.
What you read about it is they came up among the early ones, and some of the articles say they spoke Elizabethan English, suggesting that maybe they came earlier than our family, the people down in the valley. But I'm not at all sure about that. I've never done any research on that.
Well, they did, and they would use words that are not normally in use.
Not today.
Showing that. Well, they had inherited this use of these words. And I think that it probably was because they lived such a sequestered life.
Yes.
That they kept that, whereas your family was here earlier, no doubt, but had the advantage of speaking with other people, whereas they didn't.
One example, I think, of HOLP, H-O-L-P, as a past tense of health.
Mm-hmm.
And husband, and other words that are obsolete now, but they lived, those words lasted longer in the mountain areas than they did down the valley.
It's a very fascinating study, the people and their customs. It's too bad that in your travels up and down you didn't stop and get acquainted with any of the mountain people.
Well, in a way we did, but we were too young to be interested in the history of it. I remember playing with the Dwyer children when we would go up there, but we were playing, building things in that little stream, and just as the children and young people do, and you don't get interested in those things until you get somewhat older.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then it's too late sometimes.
Right. The Dwyer children, do you think any of them are left?
Probably
around here.
They are.
Yeah.
Which ones would have married a Frazier?
Well, there's Homer Frazier now, he's like.
Yeah. Yes.
What's her name? Now think of the dragon. She was a Dwyer. I know that.
Now, would this be the same Dwyer that is related to Jeff Dwyer?
It's Jeff's daughter.
Jeff's
mm-hmm.
daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So she could tell you a good deal more.
Yeah, she did. You see her, she could tell you. She could straighten out on who her sisters was on and who they married and
mm-hmm.
his one brother.
Right.
And I don't think that boy's living. I think something happened to him. I don't
mean it at all.
And the Fraziers, the Homer can tell you about his brothers too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Now this other place, Found Cup. I know that.
How is that spelled?
S-P-I-O-N. Wonder. K-O-P. And what it means in Dutch, I do not know.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing it was named for a battle in the Boer War, or a place that was a place of the battle, or something that hit me there. Now, that would be Miss Julia Hudson and Mrs. Stevie Baker. And what they could tell you, I don't know, a little bit more about their place and who owned it with Dr. Hudson, or just who did own it. But that was more for recreation than anything else. I don't remember that there's any question of raising cattle.
Yeah, right.
Of summer cottage.
Now, this diary that you are reading from, was she a teacher?
No, well, she taught music. That's why she said tell her pupils. And I hadn't read very much of this. I thought I might go on read it. Nita was she and I were very good friends,
mm-hmm.
although she was considerably older. But she died about a year ago, and I don't intend to throw away any of her papers until I have looked at them more carefully. I mean,
that is a very wise, wise thought, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did have to throw away quite a lot of letters, but I learned who wrote each one. I got so I could recognize a handwriting, and if I knew it was just a college friend or something like that, I put those out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, they had thousands of them, literally thousands of letters they had saved. Boxes and boxes and boxes of them.
Yeah.
And I had about something like 3 months to go through all that stuff. But it wasn't all together that. I think maybe I wasn't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, now when I mentioned this to my friend today, and she started asking questions, what else did she suggest? What kind of food? They did have a garden. I remember the Dwyers had a nice little garden, and I remember how much better the cabbage grown in those gardens tasted than the cabbage down here. It was sweeter. I don't know why. Maybe it was the soil or the air or something. But it just seemed to me it tasted better. Mm-hmm. Maybe the air gave us a better appetite.
No, but this keeps coming through with all the people that I've talked to that had lived in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying that their vegetables tasted better than any that they can grow now.
Mm-hmm. The soil is different up there. And I think that had something to do with it.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know whether you've ever been to Alaska or not. When you're talking about cabbage, they have heads of cabbage up there like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like that in Alaskan cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember the cabbage up on the ridge was bigger than what we had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that up there in Alaska, they attributed a whole lot of that is that 18, 20 hours of sunshine a day on it.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And see, the sunshine
get more sunshine.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
And I don't know whether the thinner air would have anything to do with it or not. But I can always imagine it with the soil.
Mm-hmm. And they would raise potatoes. And did you ever see them drying apples?
Yes. Everybody dried apples.
Yeah,
they
were kids.
Dried beans. They didn't green beans. And what else did they dry?
Cherries?
Probably, but my mother never did.
I don't remember them, but I remember dried apples.
Oh, yes, dried corn.
Yeah, corn.
A lot better, more reliable than trying to can it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have pressure cookers then. And if you canned it, you put it in a can and hoped it would keep it. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. It might be dangerous, so they dried it. And you remember anything else that they dried?
Mm-hmm. We dried peaches then, didn't we?
I think so, but I don't. My mother didn't, but I think some people did. Probably cherries, other things too.
How would you dry corn?
We did frames. They have frames with wire on the bottom. We put it in, out on the porch roof, really.
Tin roof.
Yeah.
It's all eight.
And
put the screen over it to keep the flies off. And it dried very fast, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
If we have any kind of bring it in at night so it didn't get any dew on it or anything. Keep it in the house at night and then put it out again the next morning until it got dry. And it didn't take as long to dry.
And then what would you do with it after it was dry?
Throw it in jars.
Yes, I mean, how would you cook it?
Oh, just as you would canned corn. You'd add water, of course, and cook it, and make corn pudding out of it, or just stewed corn.
Oh,
it was very good. Corn
did you ever go
good.
To any apple butter boiling?
Yes. But not on the dish. Different people would make it. I remember one time somebody in my family or a neighbor had made some, and the stirrer wasn't on the job and let it scorch. Oh boy, all that work and all that sugar for nothing, and you got burnt apple butter and nothing was worse. It was awful.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it?
Yes, after all that peeling and getting ready.
Oh.
It's work to that.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
there's a lot
of 10 bushels of apples and cut them up and get to pour it out and then all that work done.
They had a big copper kettle to cook it in. Copper brass.
Copper.
Mm-hmm. And a long handy thing that you stirred with, but something happened.
Oh. Well, you see, they did, if it was done down here, they didn't do the way they did up in the mountains. They'd get a young fellow on one side and a young girl on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And if you touch the paddle on the side of the kettle, then you got a kiss.
Oh,
so, of course,
yeah.
you kept it moving.
Yes.
There's the difference. Well, you know, this has been really wonderful because, frankly, we have had a lot of information on the central section, but very, very little about the Normans and their customs, and we have actually had no names. So Homer Fraser is going to be a godsend to us.
And the Waters family, because they would know something about it.
Yeah.
Who is...
You stop up Ralph Waters and help you, too. Ralph Waters lives up there right close, if you can find him. Now, I think he's home now. I don't think he's working.
Oh.
He helped Penn the other day to put a roof on, a little repair roof up there.
Okay. So there are two names of people that... live in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, this Waters family.
Waters and the Beans would be around close and would be to tell you, but who's Bean? What Bean is left?
There are so many Beans.
Yeah. I don't know the Beans too well enough.
When you sold your land, did you feel you got a fair price for it?
Yeah. If I didn't thought it was a fair price, we wouldn't have sold it. I don't remember what it got for.
So you're thinking about the land that wasn't in the park. I don't think anybody thought they got enough for the park land.
No, the land that went in the park, But at that time, up until that time, you could hire all the people that you wanted up there for 75 cents or a dollar a day to cut bushes. And the park came along and took it, and they were still cutting bushes. But a few years after, and now, the land was too rough to run tractors over. And you couldn't keep it down that, because you can't hire anybody to cut bushes now by hand. And so it would be grown up now, whether the park took it or they hadn't taken it. So maybe it's a good thing the park did come along and take it.
Mm-hmm. I think all of us are glad the park is there.
Yeah. I think it would have just been a great big development.
I'm afraid it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would have been tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at lovely mountains, well, I would have just seen houses.
Mm-hmm. Some of that is happening to the
Mass
Nutton.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and well, that Mass Nutton, you can get fine. I mean, the equipment over that wood better than you can a lot of that Blue Ridge.
Yes.
There's some of that now you get over. Up there around that Big Meadows and up through there. There's some of that that they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But that Big Meadows land never did produce the grass that some of that other mountain did, the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dennis Fiddler owned the place up a couple miles, the other side of Big Meadows. And I've helped to take cattle up there a number of times. And go up there and get them and so on. And I will get one day, he was up there and it was foggy that day. And I had so much trouble, it drops of water form on my eyelashes and it run down in my eyes. And I had trouble seeing, it was so foggy that day.
Mm.
And I never will forget that.
Yeah, that was close to where Big Meadows is.
Yeah, it was the other side of Big Meadows.
This side or the other side?
South of it.
South
of Big Meadows.
Uh-huh.
And I've had to say, I've helped drive cattle up there a lot of times too. He'd take a couple hundred cattle up there every summer.
When he took them up there, did they go up what they call the Gordonsville Turnpike?
No, to go up there, we took them up the old Tanner's Ridge Road.
Oh, yes.
And up that, and went in and through that Broomback place up there.
Mm-hmm.
And cut across. And that's where the work would come in, trying to drive them through that Broomback place.
Okay. So now, what names can you think of that people up there that might know something about the south end of the park?
All some of those Thomases and so on.
Gray.
We have some Grays up in there.
Matthew Thomas, do you know how I could reach Matthew Thomas?
No, I don't know. Matthew.
He's at Tanner's Ridge.
Doesn't have a phone in there.
No.
No, I don't know.
All right. You say there's some Grays there?
Yeah, some Grays and Thomases and Meadows.
Oh, yes, there are a lot of Meadows in that section.
I remember one time I went up there and this old Miss Meadows, or the Meadows family lived on a Benny Spiller's place. And we got up about 4 o'clock in the morning, it was about 2 o'clock, and we got up there and hadn't anything to eat in between. And I was just near the start. And went in there, and she had some of this old bread cooked in a skillet, you know, and stuff like that. And fat meat and beans and that kind of stuff, and I never had food that tasted as good in my life as that did. And that was because I was just near the start.
Well, you know, you're not the first one to say that their food was good.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they knew how to cook.
They were good cooks.
Yeah.
They could do wonders with what they had to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So, you say fat meat and beans and cornbread, and, well, they had some. That was like what I'm talking about now was on the white bread, the flour.
Mm-hmm.
But they ate a lot of cornbread too, and they ate a lot of cornbread.
Yeah. All right, and they said that you never were allowed to go away hungry from any of those houses either.
No, they've been here.
Mm-hmm. How about any moonshining up there? Did you ever run into any of the people that did that?
Oh, I've heard of some people who did it, but I have never seen a still out in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
itself, as far as that goes, is some up there gonna place there at home. Back there across the railroad, you know, in that new ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's some holes back there. They'll go in there for the
Yeah,
set up a steel.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You mean down the old place or where we are now?
No, down the old place. That new ground that we cleared and cleaned up back then. When he's up in the bushes.
Oh, was that some of your folks?
I don't know who it was.
Uh-huh.
Harry Huffman knew more about that than, uh-huh. than I. It wasn't uh-huh. like I got more information than anybody else. Than Harry.
Well, you mean it was there recently or just years ago?
Oh, it was there in the 30s.
Oh.
40s mm-hmm. or something like that.
Back when it
you just used an expression that I heard first the other day, new ground.
Well, that's
now,
the spoken of is ground that's never been farmed.
All right, now how could somebody use that when her family have lived in a certain place for generations and generations? How could you say it was new ground?
Well, now this up there, we've been living there since I told you the history of the place from 1700 on up and been living there all the time. But that land had been in timber and it'd never been farmed. And then they cut my daddy sold the timber off of it, and he was going to clean it up. But it got away from him, and he never did get it cleaned up. And then when I came back, lived up there, I had got a hope of a little extra help, and we didn't have anything for him much to do in the wintertime, so I'd send him back down there and clean up all 3, 4, 5, 6 acres of that stuff in the winter, each winter. And I had this help long enough to clean up, 50 to 60 acres or something like that.
And so you had new ground.
So
mm-hmm.
It was new ground when none
mm-hmm.
so it was farmed.
That has cleared it up.
Oh.
That.
Then after it had been farmed, it wasn't new ground anymore then.
Well, I kept trying to figure out how, and I asked her what she meant. She didn't know what she meant. All she knew was it was always called new ground. And I've asked several other people, and no, they didn't know what she meant.
That's the way it's always been used that I know of now. We've always used it.
Maybe they continue to call it that even after we used it, but it's newer than the other.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I always figured it would. That most of that that we think of is in grass back there.
Mm-hmm.
And but they did clean up one little field, about 16 acres there, that they cleaned up in about 4 years, I think. They cleaned that up. And we went in there and see, you run into all those stumps and all that kind of stuff. And some of these old pine stumps, it takes years and years to get rid of. They'll
mm-hmm.
last, I expect some of those pine stumps that fat part of it, they stay there for 500 years. I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start plowing that stuff, you got problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason we just planted grass on the rest of it and let it go. Never did try to plow it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And some of it was wet land too. When we try to plow it in the wet season, mm-hmm. be miring and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We had mired a couple times in our trying to move pasture.
And you still have cattle?
I have a few myself, but son-in-law has quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've got 46 kids now, all I got.
Well, I think this has been absolutely fascinating. You know what you've made come along? Bringing cattle from the other side of town, it still seems impossible to me, through town, up, it must have gone up part of Lee Highway.
That wasn't near as hard as driving them across what's 211 now. We hit the 211 when we took the cattle from home. We hit 211 out there at the White House Bridge. And then we keep them on 211 from there until they got some new money.
Exactly. There's no place to take them off.
There wasn't any place to get off. That's the only way you could get over there. Unless you went a long ways around.
Next time I drive over to Newmarket, I'm going to picture that.
But there were a few automobiles at the time, and one of us, when you meet a car, the car would stop and we'd drive to Catamount. But now when a car would come up and to pass us, one of us would take the riding horseback, would ride in front of that car and tell him, said, now you stay right close to me. And we'd take him through the bunch of cattle. We'd work on up and work the cattle over. And he would say, every once in a while, you'd find a scary driver that wouldn't follow you. And we couldn't get them, so sometimes they would be, we'd just get mad and quit and just let them stay back there. So let them stay back there for now. Get the raise the cane. I said, well, if you willing to follow me, like I told you, I'll take you through. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, get through the best way you know how. I had enough to worry about.
And the cattle won't get off the road. They just truck along in front.
Yeah,
they'll
right.
just stay right in front of you.
Sure.
But I could, with the horse, see, ride up and work them over.
Mm-hmm.
But he would have to stay as close as from here to that Davenport to the horse, or these cattle were going to come right back in the road again behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wasting my energy when trying to get them over. And then if the driver wouldn't stay close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long would it take you to get them to Newmark?
Well, we took part of all day until we got over the mobile there and then got back home. And we got big pay for that, too. They paid me $10, and I had to hire a kid to go with
me. You did get good pay.
Yes, sir.
You got very good pay for that.
That's what I got. $10.
I thought you were going to say 50 cents.
Well, compared to the what I was getting helping in the kitchen, I got 50 cents a week.
You did get good pay.
Yeah.
You couldn't have done his job, and he couldn't have done your job.
Oh. Well, this is really, really just beautiful. And you don't know how we appreciate.
Well, I'm glad.
What?
We turned out to know more than I thought we knew.
Well, that's it. It always ends up that way, the people